Welcome to our service for the 23rd of January. This is the third Sunday of Epiphany, that season when we focus on all the beauties and glories of Christ. And so we begin with Annie Griffith's lovely hymn about her Saviour, Welen sevech runga murtrith, uthrich telung of omrid. From today's Gospel reading, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the collect for the third Sunday after Epiphany. God our Creator, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious Gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief. Shine into the hearts of all your people, and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Nehemiah, Chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. All the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honourable we clothe with greater honour, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members don't need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honour to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the bodies, but the member may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets, all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus, for us.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is the story of the regathering and revival of a people. The people of Judah had been scattered into exile, their leaders to Babylon, and probably many of them to anywhere they could find safety. Their capital, Jerusalem, had been laid waste, and its protecting walls destroyed, along with the temple which was the heart of their faith. Now they were returning, under the leadership of the new governor Nehemiah and the scribe Ezra. They'd rebuilt the walls and gates of the city, and they'd paid some attention to the resettlement of the people in Jerusalem and the other towns and villages of Judah. It had been difficult, and they had met with opposition, but the re-establishment of the city was finished now. They gathered together on the first day of the seventh month, which paradoxically is sometimes called the Jewish New Year. There is, in fact, more than one way of reckoning the year in Judaism. But the first day of the seventh month is Rosh Hashanah. The Torah commanded the sounding of the shofar and the festal shout. It was to be a noisy, joyful festival. Do not mourn or weep, say Ezra the scribe and Nehemiah the governor, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this is another of the Old Testament's wonderful pictures of the joyful gathering of the people of God. In this time of COVID, it is the gathering that we've been missing, gathering together with our brothers and sisters for worship and fellowship. We've been able to make some useful replacements, online services, services on CD, Zoom fellowship groups and other Zoom meetings. But none of them has the true joy of the gathering of the Lord's people. Indeed, even when, as now, we are able to regather in church in a limited way, it's better than nothing, but it's really difficult for our gathering to be truly joyful. We have brothers and sisters who still don't feel confident to join us, brothers and sisters who have left us for nursing homes, brothers and sisters who died without our having had the chance to be with them or say goodbye. And their spaces are replaced by taped-off pews, hymn books in individual plastic hygiene bags. We receive the wafer of communion from a sanitized tray or from a pair of tongs held in sanitized hands. The wine of communion, not at all. And we realize how fundamentally true it is what Ezra and Nehemiah say, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that the church is never weaker than when it has lost its sense of joy. Indeed, it's made me wonder, as perhaps I've never wondered before, is it really possible to be joyful when you're on your own? You can be peaceful, of course, you can be at rest, and I'm sure you can be happy, but can you be truly joyful when there is no one with whom to share your joy? J-O-Y, says the old Salvation Army song. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And I wonder if perhaps you can't have joy without the others in between. Perhaps the great saints, the hermits, the desert fathers, were able to find their joy in lonely cells. But I think they too would testify that they weren't really alone. They could only find joy when their communion with the Lord flooded their cells with light. For most of us, we can find joy in the gathering. But for a gathering to be joyful, it has to be a gathering with meaning. In England now, and in Wales soon, some of the venues for gathering will reopen, and we know that young people in particular will flock to the nightclubs to lose themselves in the noise and the rhythm, the drinking and the dancing, the flirting and the possibility of sex. I'm biased, perhaps, because I'd rather go to the dentist than listen to that music, but it doesn't look like a joyful gathering to me. In true joy, you don't lose yourself, you find yourself. And that really is what the people of Judah are doing in today's story. They are being reminded of and reaffirming for themselves their identity, who they truly are. It's not escapism, far from it. We read that the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. When the book was opened, they bowed down in worship, and when the scribes and Levites read from it, they wept. We most naturally imagine that this was a penitent weeping, that they were hearing the recitation of laws which they knew they'd not kept. And surely that must have been part of it. But Ezra and Nehemiah make clear that that is not the purpose of the reading. They are not being called to repentance, or at least not fundamentally so. Rather, they are being recalled into joyful communion with their God. They are hearing and renewing the covenant promises that were made at the foot of Mount Sinai, the promise that they would be his people and that he would be their God. This day is holy, the Levites tell them, holy to the Lord your God. And we learn some important things about holiness in the process. We learn that holiness is joyful, not miserable, that it is open and charitable, broad, not narrow, sweet, not sour. Eat the fat, says Ezra, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. The day is coming, I hope it's coming soon, when we will be able to receive the sweet wine of communion once more. For me, nothing has symbolized more powerfully everything that the pandemic has taken from us, how joy has been drained from us, than the fact that the cup of salvation has been withheld from the people of God. In truth, I would have preferred not to drink the wine of communion at all than to have been, as I have, the only one who was allowed to drink it all these weary months. Our gathering around the Bible and the sacrament in worship is what makes us a people, and is the place where in communion with each other we truly find our joy. Amen.
Trust in you. us he's given, Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given, Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Richard, but we begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. En tad yr hynoedd yn yfaith, sancteiddio dy enw, deled y dernas, gwnela dy wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein barau beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canu seith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
An opening prayer. Lord God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends throughout history and touches even my life. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times when we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through your Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all days. Amen. A prayer for Epiphany. For those who seek a Saviour, we lead them to the stable, to the one who was born to bring freedom, forgiveness and liberty. For those who seek assurance, we lead them to the light, to the one who opens eyes to understanding God's word, truth. For those who seek forgiveness, we lead them to a grace beyond comprehension, to wholeness, to healing, to peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world. Lord, our world needs healing from all that afflicts it today. We pray for a peaceful solution to the situation in Ukraine, that all involved will draw back from the brink of war. We pray for peace in all areas of the world where wars continue, creating death, famine, and persecution of ordinary people as a consequence of these conflicts. We pray for all leaders of nations to develop a better understanding of each other and with a desire for cooperation rather than conflict. We pray for the people of Tonga suffering from the aftereffects of the volcano and tsunami. We pray for help from all countries to help them start to recover from this disaster. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our brothers and sisters who face persecution for being a Christian. Persecution is rife in the world today, with more than 23 countries actively involved in persecuting people for their faith. We pray for our own clergy, for Matthew, Judith, and our LMA Dean John, his curate Helwyn, John Rowlands, and our Archdeacon Eileen. We pray for your spirit to guide them as they minister to the people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all people in the United Kingdom as we try to come to terms with all the many changes that COVID has brought to our lives and in how people behave toward each other. We pray for tolerance and understanding amongst all people as restrictions ease and the knowledge that COVID will be with us for the foreseeable future. We pray for all our health workers who continue to work under great strain as the health service faces the huge backlog of patients waiting for treatment. We pray for the physical and mental well-being. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, for those weighed down by ill health, bring wholeness to body, mind and spirit. For those weighed down by worry, bring wisdom, peace and reassurance. For those weighed down by fear, bring freedom, release and liberation. For those weighed down by sadness, bring comfort, strength and joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who mourn. Embrace in your loving arms all who are grieving the loss of family and loved ones. Where lives are in turmoil, hope turns to despair, and pain is all that is felt. Be with them in their sorrow, uphold them with your strength, and through the generosity of love shown by others, and your presence within their hearts, may they know they are not alone in their struggle through today. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all it's all about you, Jesus, King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you a song, for a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper. through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
And finally, the blessing, which we've used all through this period of Epiphany. Let us pray. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.